star. She can go out with her hair somehow tied up with other hair. It's a little bit confusing, especially since the next phrase in the Mishnah is, Bein Mishalaha, even if it's her own hair. Obviously, it's severed, says Rashi, Talushin. But she cut, you know, she grows her hair long. She grows her hair long, then she cuts it.
She made her own shetel.
No, this is not a shetel. This is tying it up. This is Nishta shetel. Yeah, it's like making a bow, except for the bow doesn't come from something that's elastic or rubber or plastic. It comes from her own hair. Or, says the Mishnah, Bein Mishel Chaverta. So it's a human hair, but not her own hair. Bein Mishel Behema, or perhaps it's animal hair, horse hair, something like that. Ube totefes, ube sarvitin, bisman chain tfurin. And these other types of ornaments or something which are somehow sewn onto, I guess, a hat or something, I think Rashi says, that she's wearing. And then finally, the next phrase, which is still the only part that's of the mission that's still relevant for what I want to talk about, this kind of a woolen cap. How do they say to pronounce that in the Arab scroll? Bekavul or something like that? Bekavul, a woolen cap. Uba pea nachris, and what we call colloquially a shetel. Rashi defines it, and this Rashi will be important, as we'll see. Klias sear, it's a kind of a braided hair. Tzulusha, which is obviously severed, it's no longer connected to any human body. Tzavarta al sa'ara, and she somehow puts it over her hair. Im kliasa, all kind of wrapped up. Why, says Rashi, and this will be important according to some achronim, shetira balas hair. She wants to look like she has a full head of hair. You thought it was only men. It's a very bizarre Rashi, I have to say. We'll see. The achronim are take note of this. It's interesting. He says in Erech and Olson, that's Zion Rashi talks about this. So he says that's the motivation of a shetel. Okay, now let's go to the Gemara now, and we'll have to see. If you're having trouble with that, it's for a good reason. Let's just go to the Gemara now, and then we'll go back to the Rishonim Acharonim. So the Gemara says, is bothered, why do you have to tell me? Once you tell me that you can wrap your hair in hair, who cares? Her hair, her friend's hair, or horse hair? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Shricha, you need it all three. The Yashmin, if you just told me her own hair, Mishum Dulamas, it looks good. Right? You should look good. So this looks good. Obviously, it's the right color hair. It's her own hair. Abachaberta Dulamas, it's not going to look good if it's an off shade color. Amalo, I might have thought it's Aser. Why? Because the fear is that she'll be embarrassed. People are going to see her, and they're going to make fun of her, and then she'll take it off. Right? Even in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, women were mean to each other. I had this as an aside. Now you can also hit pause. Discussion. So the Gemara continues. We might have thought not. And now that we know that with the friends here is allowed, Yashmin the Chavrata the Bas Mina Hava. So that it's at least human hair. It's how far away could it be? How far off could the color be? Aval the Behema the Labar Mina who, where it's a completely different species, Amalo. I would have thought that that's really a likelihood that it won't work out. Kamash Malar Tricha. Okay. And then the Mishnah just adds a few certain things which they say are really not allowed, because again, it's all the same principle. We're worried that they'll be embarrassed, that it won't look good, and she'll have to take it off. That's the fear, Al-Tzach HaShabbos, of Hotzah. Skip the two dots for a second. Again, here, that's the part that'll be relevant for us. Machlokas. Amarav. Kol she'asru chachamim latis bol rishus harabim. Anytime chachamim said something was asur to be worn in rishus harabim, some kind of ornament or some kind of a wig and hair, or hair decoration. Similarly, also lotzlis bo lechatzer. It's also true even in a chatzer. A chatzer presumably does only derabbanim, but still it's true then too. Except for two exceptions: chutz mikavul upan nachras. Except for this woolen type of cap and our shetel. However, that is argued upon by Rav Anini bar Sason Mishmei Rav Yishmael Amar Hakol kikachol, meaning it's all mutter in a chatzer. I didn't know we were looking. We should be looking for Pesach now. I see costumes. Okay, good. So the Gemara analyzes. Tanan, it said in our Mishnah, Bekachol Bepeh Nachras L'Chatzer. It specified those two. So why would the Mishnah give those two examples? Let's analyze it according to each opinion. Bishlam Rav, according to Rav, who said it's only those two that are permissible, Necha. So we understand the Mishnah quoted those as exceptions, because that's what they are, exceptions to the otherwise rule that it's usher in a chaser. Elalar of Anani, Bar, Sasa, and Kasha. He holds that everything's mutter, so why did they give just those two as examples? So the Gemara answers, Rav Anani bar Sasa Mishmei Deman Kamarle. He's not giving his own opinion. He's speaking in the name of an earlier opinion. Mishmei Rabbi Yishmael bar Yosi. And what's the point there? Simple. It's a question of power or authority. Rishmo bar Yossi, Tanahu, Palig. He's a Tana. Enechanami, he's arguing on the rabbi of our Mishnah. The Mishnah specified those two. Okay, but that's in Enechanami. You're right to infer from the Mishnah that it's only those two. But this is being said in the name of another Tana, and he is allowed to argue. Rav, and now going back to the opinion which we accept la halacha anyway, Rav who says it's only those two, Maishna Hani, why is it only those two things which are permissible? Amar Ula, very important principle, Kadesh Lasizgana al Baila, so she shouldn't look ugly to her husband. All these other things are not necessarily about Yofi, or at least I guess not as important. As opposed to these two, if she couldn't wear those on Shabbos, she would look disgusting. Furthermore, the Gemara continues that this principle is already an established principle from an earlier Braisa, Kedetanya, based on the Pasuk in Vayikra Adava Benidasa, that she is, so to speak, remaining in her Nida state. So how did they understand that very enigmatic phrase in the Chumash? Zekanim, I already shown him, the early authorities, the old sages, Amru, Shalok, Tachol below Tafkos, that she shouldn't put on all sorts of different makeups, below Tiskashet, Bibigde Tivonin, that she couldn't get dressed up in any kind of nice clothing, perfumes, makeups, jewelry, that she had to be, the Svara being, if she's a Nida, so we're worried that if she looks pretty, that's going to be tempting to her husband, and then they could violate the serious Avera. So therefore, they held that this Pasuk is saying she should be in her Nida state, meaning she should really be, so to speak, removed from her husband in a way that is not tempting. And that was, we don't know the time frame here, but in theory, that was the normative halacha, it sounds like. Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva Velimeid. And Rabbi Akiva came and said, not so fast. Im Kain, Ata Magana Al Baila, Nimsa Baila Magarsha. Right? That's not what we want. If you're going to make them ugly, so some husbands are not going to just look at the inner beauty, and they're going to get disgusted. We know human nature, and maybe this won't be so good for Shalom Bais and the Jewish people. So if that's the case, if you're really allowed to look pretty, even when you're Nida, Ela Ma Talmud Lomar Vadava Benidasa, what was the purpose of this pasuk? Says the Gemara, according to Bikiva, Benidasa Tehei Archa Tavo Bamayim. I'm not sure what the Havamina would have been. And does Rashi say anything about this? Yes, Rashi does. Litvo, look at Rashi, about five lines down in the wide. Afal Pish Obru Zayin Shelah Upasuk. Mayana, even though she's awaited Shevanakiyam, and even though she's no longer bleeding, right, her rechem is closed, there's nothing flowing. So, on some level, hard to understand, but I guess on some level you might have me, this is Rabbi Akiva, that's an automatic tahara. Kamash Malah, no, you have to break the nidus with tvila. But as long as she's a nida, that has nothing to do with the fact that she should look pretty. And as an aside, I mean, I think this is, I don't know what they do in Baltimore, but certainly where I came from when I was getting married, this was, you know, very mainstream. It was always very much encouraged both to the husbands and especially to the kalas that the time of nida is not a time to be repugnant to each other or distant to each other. On the contrary, it's separate on some level, but on the contrary, I remember Rabbi Neuberger, my Rebbe, stressing that on the contrary, because you're separate in one level, a very important level, you should dafka try to compensate and be as close as possible on the other level, because distance is not supposed to be what happens. So if there's something that separates husband and wife, you should compensate, so to speak, and be closer in other areas. And again, that's the spirit which already comes through from Rabbi Akiva, where we want to maintain a certain intimacy, even if physical intimacy is prohibited. Yes? As opposed to? Well, isn't that what we do say?
Maybe they're just fashioning, saying, I didn't necessarily, I just found this king, and then there's like a
Zayrach. Just a Zayrach of the Pasuk. Okay. Okay, I'm okay with that, but again, it still begs the question, which I'll give you an answer for in a second. So, well, how come no one's worried about that?
How come no one's worried that what?
Say, why don't we have such a concern? We would all have the question, minimally according to Rabbi Akiva. But even according to your right, so let's ask even on the Zakanim Rishonim. Why don't we have that concern? Yeah.
The truth is because of legal gasp.
Right. So why is that? That would be a good enough answer for Rabbi Akiva. I'm not sure if you're right or wrong, but it wouldn't bother me. You know, I could read the Gemara even the other way.
Okay.
As we have an assumption, you know, the idea of Paspasalo.
Okay.
That's why Hilchos, right? That's why Yichud, right? That is the ultimate point. I mean, I'm Amish. I have to say, to his great credit, 11 years later now, I'm still telling you things that I first heard in Chassid's classes. But they're not light stuff. They're applicable even in serious learning. That the point is, if you wanted to really be worried, if you wanted to really create distance between husband and wife, you don't have to do all the other hachakos. You just have to create Isra Yichud. The one thing which would really or could lead to a problem is Yichud. Right? That's the one surefire hachaka, whether you're single or you're married. Everything else is almost, you could violate and still hopefully not do any serious Isra. But with as long as you're keeping Yichud, right? And you're not a complete behemoth. But Yichud is the one key thing. So I thought Rabbi Neuberger's, the Rishonim, given a technical halachic sense, this idea of Libel Gospel. Once you've been together already, so then the Yitzhar is less in a certain sense. But in a more Hashkafic sense, Rabbi Neuberger said Adarava, because if you did it in Isra Yichud, then you really would create a problem. Because then there's distance. Maybe appropriate when a couple is only dating, but it's not appropriate as a married couple. There's not supposed to be that. That's an unnatural state for a married couple. So that they allowed. The things that actually would make a difference, they allowed. The little silly things like eating from the same plate and, passing something, those are silly. You could be mocking on those, not going to affect your relationship. So that doctrine they took away. Something that would have affected your relationship in the sense of an emotional connection and a natural life, so that they didn't take away. And it's mamish the genius of Chazal. Right. Interesting. Right. Okay. So right. So that's true. And you do have that. That's just since we're on the slide. That's a major issue even in contemporary poskim. Not so much about talking at all, but one of the things that the Ramal quotes for hachakos is kalas rosh. So that's a definite. The question is how to understand that. If you look in some svarim, the very machmir. Very, very machmir. Almost anything, besides high, like, I guess you can say high, or other things are a problem. This is where they throw in, you can't play a board game, checkers, and things like this. So, and a big one being whether you can say, I love you. You have svarim who answer that. So the maimasvar for my rabbein was to be makel on all of those things. And frankly, not the view as a kula, but the view as the correct understanding of the halacha. That the purpose of the halacha is that you're not supposed to be doing things which are a prelude to tashmish. There's a certain formality to every relationship, and then there's a certain intimacy to the relationship. So you're not supposed to have the type of intimacy which are the, so to speak, the background to something which is usher. But stam, to talk to somebody, or even to have a nice time, so that depends. If this is something that is usually limited to a prelude to real intimacy, then an economic, that should be usher. So Rabbi Neuberger always used to say, he thought maybe, in certain communities, if you only say, I love you, at those moments, okay, then enechanami, then it would be usher, enechanami. But in our day and age, for better or for worse, when it comes out of our mouth four times a day, honey, I'm going to take out the garbage, I love you. Honey, I'm going to go see you tomorrow, I love you. Oh, have a good day when you're on the phone, I love you. So it's still meaningful, I hope, but it's certainly not automatically associated with something more intimate. So he felt adarava, so then to go 2 weeks without that, is on the contrary, that again, that's creating an emotional distance, which is not what the halacha ever had in mind. So, okay, now that we got completely off topic. Yes. Melech, I think Shiva got up today, right? Yeah, it was pretty serious. Yeah. I was thinking of going today, had there still been one more day, but I couldn't go. That's Rav Melech Shechter. Rav Melech Shechter was a great, great person. Great, great person. Very sweet person. Okay, so in light of all this, now that we'll just get a little bit back on topic, again, not so much Brachos Shabbos, but related, I wanted to speak about hair covering. To men, it's easy. So it happens to be our Gemara, wouldn't you know it, for anyone here who has a wife who would wear a shetel, which perhaps one does not, because your wife does not, right? Right, your wife does? Right, I thought so. But I think your wife, I knew that about your wife. So there is such a Masorah. We'll see it justified, I hope, shortly, to not wear shetels. But for all of the rest of us who have wives who wear shetels, so this is the money Gemara. In all of Shas, it's not in a Seder Nashrim, and it's not in the famous Gemara in Ksubas, and it's nothing more brachos about Seder Isha Erva. It's our Gemara. When you turn to the back of the Rif, Tav Chav Tes in the Rif, you have a famous Shilte Giborim. Okay, good. So the Shilte Giborim says, hopefully we'll do even more than this in the art scroll. The Shilte Giborim says on top of the page, Chav Testament Aleph in the Rif, on the side of the margin. The Shilte Giborim says where the little Aleph is, top of the page. Yira Mizeh, I'll try to read it. I won't read the whole thing, it's long. Yira Mizeh, Well, he doesn't want to read it because he doesn't want to know Rosh Hashanah. I'm just kidding. Yiramizeh, lahavi raya v'smach lenoshim hayotzos bekisoy saros shelahen. Ooh. Not only are they wearing wigs, it's from their own hair. Says the Shelta Gevorim, no problem. Kishein nosos, nesuos, even though they're married. Avo b'mokom kliyasaren nosos iros chabrosehen shekorin. I guess that's what we would call a sheitel. Krinolo, balaz, it basically means a sheitel. So again, I think he means they tie up their own hair, and then they put on someone else's hair as a wig, a human hair wig. He says that is all based on our Gemara, our Mishnah, the Shaninu. Dav samach dalid, sha'isha yotza b'pan nachras b'shabbos. Uper shar mafarshim, ki pan nachras a sheitel. I mean, he explains it. He mag ba'as yid b'ku ba'os se'ar na'eh. Nice hair. V'harbe, a lad, a gezunta bit of hair. V'tosim osa ha'isha al roshan, a woman puts it on her head. K'dei she'tid kasheit b'se'ar, so she looks pretty with hair. And we know that the Gemara was talking married woman from the continuation of the Gemara, where we had the phrase Shelo Tiskana Al Baila, Rabbi Akiva's Drasha. We know we're talking about a married woman. And this Panachris, as it's described here in the Gemara in Rashi, is exactly what Shelta Giborim says in his day and age, they called this Krinol. Umash Melehedja. It seems clear. Shemutaros benos Yisrael is kashet behen. They are allowed to dress this way and look nice. The seyar beisha araba deka amar. Even though that's not in our Gemara, but that famous concept from the Gemara Brachos. They can't say kriyishma in front of erva. And what's an example of erva is a woman's hair. Lo havi ella beseyar hadavuk libisara mamish. That's still hair growing out of her body. Natural hair that's still growing and attached to her. But other hair, which covers her hair, ein kan mishum seir v'isha erva v'gam lo mishum pruas rosh. Okay, there's more to talk about, but I think that's the basic point. I think they talked about a late Rishon, but he might be on the border. I'm not sure. I don't know anything about his biography. Does anyone know about the biography of the Shulta Gibarim? Yeah, for next week. Okay.
Where did he live? When did he live?
Okay. What kind of hair does his wife have? Okay. So that is the famous Shilte Giborim. So we'll have to see how this is quoted in Halacha, but just so you should know, there are, you may already know, major machlokas about this. If you're looking for a one-stop shop, you want a great maramakum for everything that's ever written on the topic, Rav Avadji Yosef has a tshuva in his long tshuvas, the Abi Omer, Chelek Hei Simen Hei, Evan Ezra Chelek Hei Simen Hei, where he collects all of the Rishonim Achronim about the issue of Sheitel. And of course, he points out that the Shelta Giborim is the father of the Shitas, and many do Dar Poskim who hold like him, that a Sheitel, even a human hair Sheitel, looks pretty, is okay. However, as Rav Avadji and many others even before him have pointed out, many Poskim disagreed. Many Poskim. According to Rav Avadja, and he's a better counter than anybody, it's rove of the Poskim. Not because they say you shouldn't cover your hair, but because the Sheitel is insufficient to cover your hair. Either because they hold maybe if it's human hair, let's say it's still erva, which is hard to believe, but maybe that could be the case. Many others hold because it's still, not necessarily technically erva, but it's still seductive. There's still a problem with that. It's not sanua. And perhaps the most likely reason is because it's marasayim. It doesn't look like a sheitel. So there, perhaps you would have a smach to say if you get a really bad one, and it's clear that it's sheitel, which of course no woman wants, then maybe it's mutter. But for one or some of a combination of those reasons, many poskim, as Ravadja catalogs, are of the opinion that sheitels are insufficient. The Gra, this is really interesting because, as we'll see, I mean, as you know anyway, I don't need to tell you, there's different, I mean, talking about different communities, but in what we would call the Lita'it world, or for that matter, in the Ashkenazic world, the overwhelming minhag, when they've covered their hair, which was not always the case in large numbers, but when they've covered their hair, the common way was with a sheitel. It's striking because, aside from many others, the gra is against sheitels. The Gra is one of, it's not one of his main, I think it's the Shnosle, it's one of the Kisvei Agra. But I think he's one of the people they quote as being against Shetels. You have Rav Yaakov M, then you have others. But, you know, for the Gra to be against something and then it to be so prevalent in the Litvish world, that's always somewhat surprising. It's not the only time it happened. Huh?
That's so atypical.
Right, okay, right, right. Especially if he's starting up with the women. So the Ma'aril Diskin, just to give you another name, the Ma'aril Diskin kind of took this middle approach where he said if it's obvious that it's a Shetel, then it's okay. But if it's not obvious, it's going to be unclear. So then that is a problem. There is another approach on the other Alderach Zeh, which you may be familiar with, which it really finds, I think it's most clear, although not necessarily its only our first expression. Just before, just so we shouldn't leave the Shetel Gevurim hanging, we'll have to see some of the posts can be even in Shulchan Aruch to quote this. It's quoted. So it's not like we all abandoned the Masorah for this. But nevertheless, there's certainly those who were Machmir. Going on that Derech, and the one who's most famous quoted by Poskim, I saw this quoted here in the Sharm Mitzvah and Bahalacha, is a Tshuva Sefer known as the Be'er Sheva. And he quotes the Yesh Omrim. I think the Yesh Omrim he's quoting is the Knesset Yecheskel, if I'm not mistaken, of Katzen Elbogen. But anyway, be that as it may, he's quoted as one who says that it's all wrong. And it's a mistake from our Gemara based on the following. He goes back to the funny Rashi. What did Rashi say? That the reason a woman would wear a shetel is so that it should look, she has fuller hair. So the way he understands that Rashi, it's a funny Rashi. I'm not sure his reading is any better, though. But the way he understands that Rashi is that it has to be that she, when she's wearing a shetel, she wears it in a way that a woman who wasn't covering her hair would have to cover her hair. In other words, she has to cover the shetel. In other words, I have only this kind of hair, right? To use a humorous but true story about probably many people, but including a cousin of mine, she always wanted to be a blonde. So she was the day after she got married. Right? So she wa- but so she wanted to make, that's what Rashi says, she wants fuller hair. But then she has to have something that makes it clear that that's just an improvement on the hair. That's not a halakha, that's not a Hilchos Eved Ezer, so to speak. She's not covering her hair. So she has to have that Pe'ah Nachris, but she has to wear that in a way, in a way that makes it clear that her hair is covered, i.e., she has to have a double covering. Now that is already in this, exactly. Now he does say that perhaps the chaser that the Gemara was talking about here. So the chaser perhaps he assumes is one where maybe no one would see her. So it came out like being in a house. So maybe that's what the Shulta Gibara meant. That's why it's allowed. But if you're in public, he does have this notion. Furthermore, it gets further developed. The Chubas Chasam Sofer, this is perhaps the most well-known one, in Orachaim Seven Lamed Vav. The Chasam Sofer also speaks about this, and he holds that any hair, even a little bit of a hair, is Nisar Daraisa, based on the concept of Serbi Isha Erva. And he also understood, in light of some of these Aramar Makamos, that you had some kind of a kerchief which held the hair together. So you shouldn't have any, even a little bit of a wisp hanging out. And then you covered that, so that it should be known that you're married, you know, that you have your hair covered, in a way. And that's what's known as the double hair covering, or the Hasidic pillbox. Right? They wear a shetel. Some speculate that it goes back even further. Some speculate that it goes back even to the Rambam. The Rambam, I didn't want to bring it, we don't have time. The Gemara in Ksubas, the famous Gemara in Ksubas, the Das Moshe, Das Yehudas, a very hard Gemara. I mean, Imam Shik looking at a chart, especially with the different Rishonim, talking how they're reading the different stages of the Gemara. It's complicated. And the Rambam in that Gemara is famously complicated. But the one thing is clear, the Rambam speaks about some kind of, almost like, if you'll forgive the expression, a little red riding hood. Some kind, or like, what's those things that women wear, like a shawl or something, but not just over their shoulders, the way our women wear, but like also over her head. So there are... there are some who point to this Rambam as a mocker also, that it's in addition to your panakros or whatever, you have to wear something above it. I don't know if it's as clear from the Rambam necessarily, but certainly there are these poskim who hold that it has to go even further. It's not enough just to have some covering. There actually has to be a double covering. On the other extreme, again, not just about the shetel issue, but in question of leaving hair out. So already the Rashba on that Gemara in Maseches Brachos Tav Chavav says that if you have small amounts of hair, and anyway, people are regular to see them, that does not count as erva. That's already in a Rashba. And in fact, the Maharam al-Shakar has a lengthy tshuva, a big tshuva, which a lot of posts can quote, where he's very much a proponent in defending this view. And speaks about it in his time and place, where they left the bangs out, and he says there's nothing wrong with that, people are regular for that, there's no problem whatsoever. And in our day and age, Rav Moshe has two tshuvas about this, in Eben Ezra Chelek Aleph, maybe he has a three, I'm not sure. The ones I'm referring to are Nunvav 56, as well as Nun Ches 58, where Moshe seems to accept this as well. And in the second tshuva, he has his opinion that as long as it's a tefach, because the Gemara in general, when it speaks about Erva, always speaks about a tefach. And Moshe, I think, basically says that it's two fifths, in this case, around. But if there is some hair showing, Moshe does say that it is okay.
So does that tshuva discuss shaving?
What I remember is the showing of the hair, but I believe he's also of the opinion that allows shetels. But again, the point is, you know, some shetels or women want to have a little hair out. And he is of the opinion, again, it can't be abused, which it sometimes is, but he is of the opinion, he does defend that. If you take a look at the Mishnah Brura or Shulchan Aruch Ramah, interestingly, the biggest place where this discussion takes place is in Or HaChaim, in Hilchos Kriya Shema, in Siman Ayin Hei. Give you the basics here for a second. I didn't bring a Shulchan Aruch, but there's a few important Magen Avrams which I would have liked to have showed you inside, but be that as it may. So the beginning of the siman is Tefach Magula B'Isha V'Makom Shadarka Al-Chasoso, any place of the body which is either obligated or even customarily covered, so if it's somewhat revealed, you can't say Kriya Shema in such a context. And then says the Shulchan Aruch, if Beis Sear Shel Isha, hair of a woman, Shadarka Lachsoso, where she's customarily she's there, Derech is to cover it. Also Likros Kenega, you cannot dab say Kriya Shema in front of it. Add the Ramah, just in case you were unclear, Afilu Ishto. Right. So if you're davening at home, right? So to me, this Chassidus is for a woman to cover there even at home, but it's not Mikra Din. So let's say your wife's walking around without her hair covering, so it's fine. But if you're going to daven at home. So if you can say Kriya Shema at home, that could be a problem. Could be a problem even with your wife. A big time that this happens is Havdalah, especially in the summer. You come home, it's been a long day. You know, your wife fell asleep already. She's putting the kids to sleep. So you come home. That's a classic example. In some cases, in some families at least, where you have to be makbid on this.
And whether it's the rice or not, wouldn't it? Whether it follows the rice.
Why?
Just Kriya Shema, isn't it?
I think you shouldn't daven really anything in front of
you.
Yeah, you shouldn't even make up. Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, I don't think it's limited to that. About besulos, just to see. So, what about a single girl? Shadarkan leilech pruas arosh mutter. So, since they generally don't have their hair covered, you can make bracha even in front of her hair. Says the Rama, who hadin has saros shal nashim shargilin latzeis mikutz timton. He's quoting the Rashba. That again, if even a married woman, but if there's hair that is darkon to leave out, which the Rashba says in certain cases with limitations is allowed, so you're rogil b'kach, then it won't be distracting, and then you could say Kriya Shema in front of that. But kol shekein, adds the Rama, now comes to our topic, really. Until now, we're just doing Hilchos Brachos, actually. Kol shekein, says the Rama, Sear Nachris, namely a wig, it doesn't mean non-Jewish, it means foreign. Sear Nachris, afilu darka lachsos, even if that's the way she's covering her hair, that is considered sufficient. That's allowed. That is allowed. What's that based on? The Shulta Giborim. Let's see. So, there's a few things to mention. Just, I see here that the Mishnah Brura, I'm looking at it now for the first time in a while, the Mishnah Brura does quote one of the things I want to tell you from the Magen Avraham. So this Ramah has the kula of the Shulta Giborim, of the Rashba, can have a little bit of hair out, says the Mishnah Brura, if it's really from a Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham calls the Zohar. The Zohar is very makbid in Parshas Noso. Hechmir ma'od lo yisra ashum seir me'isha. It brings all sorts of sakana to the home if any hair is revealed. And your children will go off the derech.
It won't become kohanim gedol.
Right. Kol shekein, but that's even at home. Kol shekein ha'oleches b'shuka b'kach. Especially if she's out in public that way. Kain boy, this is that filu koros besa lo yechmun sarach ademereshay. That's the famous mimer that even the pillars of the house shouldn't see her hair uncovered again. So that gemara seems like it's just a mizlefni mishur sadin. Right? I'm not a kohen anyway. My kids have no shot at being kohen gadolim. But the Zohar seems to take it more as an obligation, and the Magen Avraham himself says roy linhog kizohar. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in our day and age, some do this way, some do that way. No, it's okay. And then he quotes the Maamar Chazal about the Kohanim Gedolim. This issue of leaving hair out or not, it's one of the things which the Maritz Chayos in a Tshuva says is dependent on custom. And again, this is a little bit the Gemara Ksubas, which it's too overwhelming to go into in our context. But the Gemara Ksubas speaks about these two things, Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. It's very complicated what those things mean, but it may very well mean Das Yehudis is something that is subjective. That Das Yehudis is Makom Shenagu, that there's a certain time and place for certain things, that's the custom, and that's what they have to do, as opposed to Das Moshe, which might be more objective. Whether or not that's a correct understanding of that Gemara, that is certainly a phenomenon, a dual phenomenon in Hilchos Tznius, both for men and for women, that there are certain things that are objective, and there are certain things that are subjective. So, for example, the Mishnah Berurah for Paskins, as you know, that when it comes to a woman covering her body parts, what they call shok, isha erva, etc. So the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, as every Beisakov girl knows, elbows and knees. Now, what that means, to be clear, and this not every Beisakov girl knows, unfortunately, that below the knee, l'mashal, there doesn't have to be any covering. Just like below the elbow, right? People don't wear versions of stockings below their elbow. Right? Many, many Beis Yaakov teach girls that they're obligated to wear stockings and high socks and things like this. Whether they want to be machmer like that, perhaps, tavo leham bracha, maybe. But it's certainly not the Pesach Mishnah Berurah. That is not mainstream halacha. Now, it happens to be... good, thank you. The Gakva was going to say, Saraya, it happens to be the Chazon Ish argued. The Chazon Ish argued, at least, I don't know about the elbows necessarily, but it's certainly when it, maybe he did also, I don't remember, but certainly when it came, yeah, there was the Chazon Ish held that two of the ankles was mikradin. That's because of the machlokas is what's different for shok. Is it the upper thigh or is it the calf? So he held it was the calf, and therefore that's all obligatory mikradin. Okay, but so again, as I say about Hilchos Sukkah and the nail, you know, and maimid the maimid, if you're going to follow every other chumra of the Chazon Ish, because of the hate. But even in Bnei Brak, they don't follow all of them. But again, this one with the stockings and the ankles and socks has certainly become prevalent in Beis Yaakov social circles. Let's put it that way. But again, it's important to know it's not the din of the Mishnah Berurah. It's not the accepted halacha. So that's an example, though. However, so all of that notwithstanding, even l'shitasi, I'll put it that way, if you're in a community, which frankly I don't think something is metropolis. Esque as a Baltimore, you could say is, I don't think. But if you're in a city, you're in a community in which there is a monolithic minhag, l'moshel in this case, for girls to wear socks, to wear skirts down to the ankle, etc., then I hold absolutely that it is mutter, is chayiv, which is why I hold that is offensive and is ill-tasting and is probably unproductive most of the time, as those big signs in Meir Sharim are, I think they're right. Those are certainly monolithic communities. They have standards of dress. You shouldn't come into a community and uproot their standards. I think they're right. I don't know if they go about it the right way, but Taka, technically speaking, they're right. I'll give you another example, because I think this is one of the important things that does apply to men. For those who are familiar with the Shalvim campus, or certain other yeshiva campuses, in the sense that Mamash could be comparable to, let's say, the Nei Yisrael campus. So it's a big campus, yeshiva, dormitories, even some food eatery, you know, Makola they actually have there, basketball courts. So when we would have a break, if we would go from the basketball court, we would want to go to the Makola to get a drink, or in Israel to get a pudding. And we were walking from our shorts there, then we were going to go to the dorm and shower and go to afternoon seder. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was Rav Libor at the time. It was Mashkiach. Anyway, he said, it's wrong. In this campus, which is quite a few acres, on the basketball court, it's okay to walk around in shorts. But we don't walk around the yeshiva campus in shorts, whether you're coming from the gym. And again, it's a chisaron hechosnis. If you do, because the minog here has a certain standard, and I think that's again, as I understand halacha, that is that could be correct as well. So the Maritz Chayis holds. I think he and others say that could be the Smaram al Shaka and others. I don't remember one of you said this before, even about the Rambam in terms of Arabic lands. But he also says, apparently, I don't know, cultural anthropology. He says that the reason that some of these poskim were so defensive, not in the negative sense of that word, but defending this idea of having little hair out was because in those times and places, that was minakamakom, and therefore, to wear nothing, to be completely uncovered, that'd be a violation of the objective tznius of Das Moshe. But Das Yehudis is flexible, and if they leave a little hair out, again, so remotion, others cap that at a tefach, because then you may have different problems. But at least within the tefach, they held that might be the sliding scale. That's also part of this Maritz Chiyas has a tshuva. Just to mention one more thing before we end with some a very, very famous Mar Malkom, which is important to know so we know, misunderstand. There is a Magen Avram, some posts can tie it to a Rambam as well, but there is a Magen Avram who holds that this idea of covering and uncovering even can apply to single girls. Not in the same way it applies to married women. That seems to be clear from Poskim. But they hold that that's why, even though they don't have their hair covered, they shouldn't have their hair out. How do you thread that needle?
Braid.
The braid. Exactly. That's quoted by the Magen Avraham here in Siman Ayin Hey, Sif Gimel. The Magen Avraham quotes this idea, which you still see in certain Hasidic communities, where they will have either very short or very braided, tightly braided hair, not to have their hair out. Again, very not mainstream, but it does exist, and it's quoted by the Magen Avraham. There's no mocker. Even the Shilta Gibarim acknowledges already that that's only talking about Nesuos. There's no mocker. Again. Yes, correct. So that's why there are some poskim will hold it. Yeah, there are some poskim will hold it. It's not objective erva. In other words, let's assume that a shokin.
That would be like a raya.
I think a very good raya, frankly. Yeah, I think a very good raya. That happens to be why, for example, now Mamash, well, it's not a field, this is the topic already. At this point, this is our topic. Without getting into all of the Marmakomos, but this is the basic framework. Rabbi Willig happens to have one of his chumras. Rabbi Willig holds like those posts, I think like the Maral Diskin, he's very against shadels being too good. He says it very gently, even with his own family, because it's not always easy for women. He understands that. But Lamaisa, he holds that. Because he holds that that it cannot be pshat. He holds that the kula, that anything you cover is good because it was covered, is based on the assumption that it's real erva. As long as the erva is covered, we never make any distinction how you cover it. But he holds, for this and whatever other reasons, that it's not. That the real purpose of Kisei Rosh is that it's important that it should be obvious when you see a person if they're married or not. He gives always a mushal. He says it half jokingly, but he tells us always as his story that he always likes to tell seriously is if you go to a singles event, you can have 20 people. So you usually try to have some married people to make sure that things don't get too awkward and conversation moves and it's smooth. So he was once part of such a thing, I think it was, he said, and they realized, 1 second, someone's going to start hitting on the married woman, someone's going to hit on the married guy. How are they going to know who's who? So they made a thing that, like, all the name tags were like a regular square for the single guys, and if you were one of the married people, you had, like, an apple or something, you know, cut out apple that said, you know, Mordechai, you know, whatever, Aviva. That's it. So he said, that's pshat. That's what it means. You have to know who's married. So a tichel or something is obvious. A shetel's not as obvious, but as long as it's obvious that it's a shetel, so then it's sufficient. So one of the riots is, I guess, it's hard to understand why the heter is for single girl if it's really erva. Because erva usually applies, mikra din, at least when she's a bas mitzvah. We don't hear till married. I think that's a very fair point. Let's take all the equivalents in that Gemara. Kol b'isha erva, shok b'isha erva. I mean, none of those things are dependent on being married. I think that's a good point. So I wanted to mention, just in light of this notion, which again we see debated in our Gemara, in light of our Gemara, which talks about the Panachris, and then we have the discussion, is that Minhag HaMakom, is that allowed? Can some hair come out? Some can not come out? So one of the most controversial 20th century Mar Makomos on this topic is the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan is in our Siman also. All of this is in Siman Ayin Hey, which again is all based on our, part from this our Gemara. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the following. Now, some of you may have heard the Aruch HaShulchan holds that nowadays you don't have to cover your hair. It is possible to read the Aruch HaShulchan that way. Let me make sure it's on the tape. It is possible to read the Aruch HaShulchan that way if you only read one selected line in the middle.
Right.
And just for the record, in case you think that who would ever do such a thing, I was once in a shir where this was presented. So just, many of you have heard of this. I don't know how many of you have seen this inside, so I'll just read it. It's not that long. But it is powerful to hear. But Atta says the Aruch HaShulchan, Bo v'nitzvach al pirtzus dorenu. We should come and scream or cry over the pirtzus, the lack of snius in our generation. Ba'avonoseinu harabim, in our great sins. Shezeh shanim rabos. It's already been many years. Shenifritzu b'nos Yisrael ba'avon zeh. That the walls have started to be broken down. Ha'olechus b'gilei rosh. Women are not covering their hair. And all the fact that the rabbis are screaming, it hasn't done a bit of good. Nothing. And now it's so bad that even hanesuos hochos v'saros v'nekma basulos. You don't know the women, the married women wear their hair just like the single women. Oy lonu she'olsa b'yameinu kach. Woe is to us that this has befallen us. However, we're not ossified. This can impact halacha, he says. Al kalpanim ledina, nirusha mutter lanu lehispalel, u levarech neged rashen hamagulos. Says, but it does chapa nafkemina. That it's mutter to have avdallah, against what I said before. It's mutter to say avdallah and other things, klape a woman whose hair is not covered nowadays. Kemesh ata rubun holchos kach, have a makamas hamagulum begufa, right? They don't cover the hair or other parts of the body. That's the case, as the Mordechai already says from the Rav Yah, that can have an impact. As he, this is the quote from the Mordechai. Again, it goes back to Rishonim. The Archa Shochan did not make up the Svara. All these things, all these Erevahs in the Gemara, Davke bedaber she'ein regilas lehigalos. Again, it's only talking about Hilchos Kriyas Shema. It's not talking about what it's mutter to do. But when it comes to Hilchos Kriyas Shema, if you're used to it, you're used to it. That's why there's no problem from a Kriyas Shema perspective in front of a single girl, etc. Kein Moshez Lein, who says the Archa Shochan, not just about single girls, even about married women, Kamen Esuos Kein. Mela Daleka Hirhur. We don't have to worry about there being Hirhur. In fact, that's the famous kula that many, many families, many of us grew up in such families, many have been in shuls and chuppas, where brachas are being made in situations, mamash seem to be against the Gemara. And that's all based on relying on this Archa Shulchan. Now, as an aside, I'll close, Rabbi Willig, Lashitaso, disagrees with the Archa Shulchan. Because he holds that the whole lumdus of the Mordechai in the Archa Shulchan. And again, it's more, the Mordechai is talking about parts of the body, which is more easy to understand in light of Shraga's point. But the Archa Shulchan is applying that to hair. In other words, he's assuming, unlike what we said before, that hair is an objective erva. It's objective erva in the sense that it's somehow an erotic thing. It'll create these kind of problems for a man. So if you're used to it, so familiarity breeds, if not contempt, but not excitement. And therefore, it's not going to be a problem. And therefore, we can say Krishna in front of it. But that presupposes that that's the reason why you have to cover the hair. But if you hold like Rabbi Willig or some of these other Achronim earlier, who even seem to say that as well, so whatever benefits that may have, or kulas, I don't know, but it does give you one chumrah, which is that he does not think you can rely on Sarach Shulchan Heter, because he doesn't think it has anything to do with that type of erva. It's a different type of erva.
To a wedding, he doesn't perform the wedding. If there are people,
he tried. There's other ways to avoid it. There's the old trick with the glasses. He's lucky he has bad vision. And then there's stories about the Rav, for example. I think Rav Shechter says in Nefesh HaRav that the Rav was doing a wedding, and he was up to the chuppah. They called them up, and he asked for a bencher. And there was like almost an awkward delay. They needed to get a bencher for the brachos. They didn't have one. So I said to him, Rebbe, wait, you don't know the brachos by heart already? And he tried to be modest. But Rav Shechter said, I don't know if he told him or he knew, and then you do it that. He wanted to hold up the sitter, the bencher over his eyes when he made the brachas, because he couldn't see. The shaila is if you turn around is enough. This is a general. Hilchos Snias is a Simenayin Hay shaila. Turning around is enough.
Especially
so,
on an elevated platform.
So, anyways, in some circumstances we hold that that's not enough. In some circumstances, again, I didn't review the whole sugya tonight.
General Snias, not sugya. I would assume, because they're also quite different.
In terms of what he did for brachos, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know what he did for brachos in his own home. I don't know. I don't know. Did he have some hakbara? It's unlikely, just in terms of like married life, so maybe for that he held like Rosh Hashanah. He's not bound by Rabbi Willig.
That's what happened was that in those days, even the Rosh Hashanah's wife was not. In Europe, nobody wore.
Kayadua,
Rabbi Ruderman.
Until they came to Baltimore. Kayadua and others. That's correct. So I'm saying, my point is, the Shiloh, so what did. So forget the Hilchos, so to speak, Ebenezer Shiloh. The Shiloh itself was Brachos. So again, maybe they relied on their Archa Shulchan.
Right, they have to.
Yeah, I think they relied on their Archa Shulchan.
So the question is, somebody for the Rav's wife and for, you know, what...
Let's speak more broadly.
Okay, or more broadly, all these
Rosh Yeshiva. I don't want any of these...
All these Rosh Yeshiva.